And I'm just doing a three-part little mini-series on Revival Is. Somebody say Revival Is. Now, I preach several messages on He Is. And so thank the Lord for Brother Skylar playing the bass. I mentioned him in singing, but some of these folks got multiple talents. Amen. They can sing, play, preach, whatever. Do it all. Amen. But we thank every one of them. And if I missed anybody, please know that I love you and let me know so I can make sure I give you the credit that's due and the glory to God. God deserves the glory, but people deserve the credit. Amen. And you might not agree with that, but I'll tell you what, God's not going to fill in and sing for me next Sunday night. Amen. God himself's not going to do it. He's going to send somebody to do it. Amen. And so we praise God for people who do that. But I do want us to look tonight at the life of Isaac. You see, I believe that we need revival in our country. I believe that we need revival in this world. I believe that in our teenagers and 20-somethings and early 30s that we're missing a great opportunity to be a mighty church in these difficult times to lead them to those old wells. I believe in old-fashioned, devil-chasing, blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled, miracle-working, heaven-loving revival is what it's going to take. It's what it took at Azusa Street. It's what it took in the 50s. It's what it took in the 80s when I was coming in. And bless God, it's going to be what it takes. It's what it took under Donald Trump, and it'll be what it takes under Joe Biden. We need a revival. Amen? And I want us to look at the life of Isaac. And would you stand with me tonight? And there are three major things that he did in his life. He unstopped the wells. Say that with me. Unstop the wells. He sowed in the land and he prayed in the field. And I want us to look tonight at number 2, sowing in the land. Genesis 26 and 1. If you're there, would you say amen? Genesis 26 and verse 1. And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And there's a famine for every generation, by the way. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, don't go to Egypt. Dwell in the land that I tell you of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and bless thee. For unto thee and thy seed I will give these countries, and I will perform. God's about to perform some things as he's promised. Amen. Some of you are like, win, win, win. Against all odds, he said, I'm going to perform it. Amen. I will perform. It's not how I perform, it's how he performs. Amen. And I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven and give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed because that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my command, my statutes, my laws, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Now look at Genesis 26 and verse 12. 26 and verse 12. Read it out loud with me. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord, that's revival. That's the move of God. That's the favor of God. And Father, tonight, let it be so in our lives. Anoint your servant to preach, and we'll give you all the praise that everybody said amen. And turn around and as you're being seated, tell somebody God bless you and thank you for being here tonight. Amen. Now give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Amen. We praise you, Father. We're looking at the great patriarch Isaac. Isaac was one of the greatest men of God in the Bible. He's often overlooked. A lot about Abraham we preach and talk about, and Abraham is perhaps more mentioned in the New Testament. And of course, the life of Jacob and the 12 sons. But don't count out Isaac, because Isaac, like Abraham his father, walked with Abraham his father's God. Like Abraham, his father, Isaac built his altars. And every generation has to build their own altars. Isaac was a man of prayer. We'll see that next Sunday night. He was praying when God gave him his bride in Genesis 24 and 63. And he willingly laid down his life. We talk about Isaac willing to sacrifice his son. But he couldn't have easily done it if his son was jerking and resisting and don't do it. But in that passage, you can infer that not only was Isaac willing to sacrifice his son, but the son was willing to lay down his life for his father. You have a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaac. Isaac was a great man. And we're going to look at the theme of revival. Because when you look at the life of Isaac, you see all the elements that are needed for a revival. You see, it's not always easy to pass down passion. It's not always easy to pass down desire. It's not always easy to pass down experience from one generation to another. Yes, sometimes these things are more caught than they are taught. But they must be caught. And I believe God is raising up a generation here at West Moreland, and not only now, but in the future to come, beyond even our time. He wants us to pass down to that generation those old truths, those old wells, those old experiences, because for each generation there are temptations and trials and controversies, and the Lord is wanting to raise up a glorious church that is in touch with Almighty God. And what a hurting world needs is a church full of God, full of love, and full of revival, not just starting 11 o'clock sharp and ending 12 o'clock dull, not sitting on the premises, but standing on the promises. We need revival one more time in this church. Don't shut that church down again because of some germ. Let us move on in might and power, and let us lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Somebody give him praise in this house tonight. I believe in safety, and I believe that we are to be cautious, and I believe that we ought to be careful when there are pandemics out there, but we as the church should never ever again shut down. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. I'm going to come when it's dangerous, and I'm going to come when it's good. I'm going to come when the sun is shining, and I'm going to come when the sun is not shining. Now, if there's ice on the road, I understand we need to be safe, and we don't want things to happen that will cause greater harm. God gives us wisdom for the moment. But in a long series, in a long stretch, we must not ever again shut down. We must. When they shut down Walmart, I'll think about it. Can you give the Lord a praise tonight? Amen. When they shut down the liquor store, I might think they might be sincere. Oh, God is good. Amen. We see Isaac unstopped the wells. And we talked about that last week. He unclogged those wells. And Isaac had his own experience with God. But I want you to see something else tonight. We find ourselves in the midst of a famine. We find ourselves in the midst of dryness. The Bible says in Genesis 26, 1 through 6, that there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And I believe we are in a famine right now. I believe that there's a lot of talking, but not a lot of preaching. I want you to know there's a difference between giving a discussion and preaching the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go to some contemporary churches today, and even some traditional churches today, and by the time you walked out, you haven't heard the first word about sin, salvation, the resurrection, the need to be born again, the fear of the judgment to come, or of hell, or of eternity without Christ. That is why we are here. We are not a social club. We have social gatherings, and that's part of fellowship, but we are not a social club just to come and enjoy one of each other's company. We are the church, and we gather, and when two or three are gathered, He is in the midst, and the Word of God must be preached. If it is not preached, then lives cannot truly be changed. Souls cannot truly be saved. Friend, I'm here to tell you, it's not the 10 suggestions. It's the 10 commandments, and we must give account of ourselves to God. But there is a famine of the Word of God, of preaching of the Word of God in our land today. Amen. And there was a famine in that land. You know, when there's a famine in a land, it's not comfortable. It's not convenient. You can't get what you normally get. I mean, this past week, we were crazy just trying to get fill up with gas. Come on now. Last year, it was bathroom tissue. Come on now. Couldn't get any now. And now this year, it's filling up the car. And I heard one of our members say, I was so favored of God, I never waited in line. I just got my gas. Amen. Well, I have to say, I did wait a little bit the other night at Sheets. But bless God, I got it. Amen. Hallelujah. Both tanks are full. We're ready for the week to come. God is good all the time. Amen. A famine in the land, and things are not comfortable. And there was an inclination in Isaac to move, to leave, to flee, go somewhere where there's plenty of gas and plenty of bathroom tissue. Just get out of Dodge. After all, his daddy did it. His daddy actually did that. When a famine came in his daddy's generation, Abraham. Just went on down there to Egypt. He made two of the biggest mistakes of his life. And Isaac, listen to this. Go back to Genesis 26. There's something here I want you to see. And Genesis 12 and 10, Sister Darnell. Genesis 12 and 10. It says, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went. He just went. But go back to Genesis 26 and verse 2. Genesis 26 and verse 2. There was also a famine in the land, but the Lord appeared unto him and said, don't go to Egypt. Big difference. So what you don't read in this passage, but what you can infer, is that unlike his daddy, Isaac actually prayed about what to do. Abraham didn't pray. He just went. At least you don't find any inquiries there. But evidently Isaac said, now Lord, it's hard here. Lord, it's not comfortable here. Lord, there's a famine in this place. Lord, I'm not getting my felt needs met. And Lord, I look across the grass and this greener on the other side. I'm telling you, down in Egypt, let me just take my family in there. Listen, you know, Lord, you don't want me to have a hard time, do you? You don't want me to sow in this land and it seems to be dirt and dry. And it seems to be no opportunities here. But the Lord appeared unto Isaac and said basically one four-letter word, S-T-A-Y. Say it with me. Say it again. Come on, tell your neighbor. Tell them. You know, we got a lot of people that want to hop, 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 and hip, hip, hip. A lot of people want to move down the street, get divorced, try it over again, midlife crisis, going to leave this church, go to that church. My God, no wonder we don't have revival. And y'all better pray. I'm getting ready to do some meddling right now. But I'm here to tell you, if you're going to see revival in the land, we got to have some people that are going to stay put, that are going to be faithful. You can't be fruitful if you're not faithful. God, give us some people that says, I don't care how dry the service is, I'll pray it through, bless God. I'll fast it through, bless God. I'm going to sow in the land, and I'm going to reap. Somebody give him praise here tonight. Don't you leave and go down to Egypt. Somebody say the word stay. And I'll tell you, staying ain't easy. There are times when, if you're on a job, how many of you go on the job, you clocked in 10 minutes into it, and you are ready to leave? I don't have to be here. How dare they do that? I'm just going to give me another job. Yeah, and you're going to be unemployed. Because I'm telling you, it's the same devils at every job. By the way, it's the same you at every job. Woo! Should I have an altar call? Oh, have you thought? Now, Brother Quentin is a manager here. You've seen him, brother, hadn't you? Oh, let me tell you. But, Lord, I made up in my mind on the job I got now. I made up my mind. I said, and I've been there long enough. You don't have to be there long, but you can be there long enough. But I've been there long enough to tell you that I could have very easily just walked. I've had them say things they shouldn't say. I've times when I was definitely in the right. They were definitely in the wrong. Times when I learned that I was in the wrong, and they were in the right, so I grew a little bit. Praise God. I'm telling you, I have sowed in the land, and I'm going to get a blessing for it. When it's time for me to leave, God will let me know, and I'll walk out the door blessed and highly favored of God. You better stay in that job. You better stay in that church. You better stay in that ministry. You need to stay in that marriage. But, oh, yes, I said it. You stay, because God don't want... There's famines in every marriage, famines in every job, but there's a God that can bless through the famine. There's a God that wants to give revival. Well, give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Somebody's about to have revival. Stay. The Bible says those that are planted in the house, Psalm 92 and 13, if you're planted in the house of God, you'll flourish in the courts of God. Be planted and let God bless you. Sow in the land. Somebody say, sow in the land. Well, I don't have, you know, there's nothing here. Make something of it. Take, you know, it don't impress me if I give you a class of 25 kids and they're all well behaved and you can instruct them on the lessons of Nimrod the warrior out of Genesis chapter 12 and really, you know, be some theological scholar, and they just sit there and take notes. Most of the time, kids, it ain't 25 in the class, it's about 3. And 2 of them are mean as the devil. And 1 of them's probably your nephew. That's ADDDDD. And you like, well, pastor, I'm just going to go down to this church down the road, and I'm just going to sit on the back pew, and I'm just going to get fed, and I ain't going to deal with that. Well, you're not going to reap a harvest. You're not going to make an impact. You'll go to heaven. But are you going to take any fruit with you? Are you going to, listen, I'd rather impact one child, one person may be the next Billy Graham. One young lady may be the next Beth Moore. Let me tell you, when you sow in the land of famine, that's where God's blessings come in. And we walk by faith and not by sight. Little is much when God is in it. Amen. Labor not for wealth or fame. I forget the rest of that song, but it's good. Then you'll go in Jesus' name. I don't watch the Gaither videos like y'all do, but it's good. Amen. I ain't got nothing against it. I just don't have time. So let me tell you 4 things about sowing in the land. This is so simple. I was almost embarrassed to give it to you. But 4 things when it comes to sowing in the land. If we want revival, you must understand you do not reap until you sow. You must plant a seed. You won't get a harvest. One of the things, my great-grandmother and grandfather had a farm there. From my early, early memories, that Grandpa put the seed in the ground, and Grandma covered it up, and I came behind and patted it down a little bit more. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know why. I just remember that. I remember my grandmother Joyner. And we would plant the seeds, and I would plant it down or pat it down. But you cannot have a harvest until you sow. And you need to sow even when it doesn't look good. You need to sow even when there's a famine, even when there's not a lot of people. You need to sow. You need to sow your finances, sow your praises to God, sow your good deeds, sow your life, because you'll never reap. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Now, you know, watch the wording there. Let us not be weary in well-doing. See, that's the battle. Because if it said, don't be weary in doing well, we wouldn't have a problem. You know, when things are doing well, oh, I got plenty of this, and I've got that taken care of, and I've got, I'm doing well. The finances are met, and there's plenty of conversions. And we don't get weary when things are doing well. But the Bible doesn't say don't be weary in doing well. The Bible says don't be weary in well-doing. You know what well-doing is? That means you're doing it as good as you can, but it might not look like it's going well. Can I get a witness? You see, it didn't say be not weary in doing well. It said don't be weary in well-doing. Praise God, I'm going to teach the best that I can with the class that I got. That's doing well-doing. Amen. I'm going to preach if there's 15 or 150. That's well-doing. If I can't do a lot, I'm going to do a little. That's well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing, church. The Lord is about to come. The famine is about over. Revival is about to hit, and those who've been not weary and well-doing are going to reap even in these days of famine. I wish you'd give him a hand of praise, and don't be weary, for in due season we're going to reap. Somebody say we're going to reap. I'm giving you a warning now. Let me tell you principle number two. Number one, you do not reap until you sow. And as I approach that big 5-0 in a few months, I'm thinking, what am I sowing? Because calendar-wise, if I live to be 100, that means I am literally at the half point of life. Most people don't live to be 100. I plan to live to be 100. Amen. And in good health. Hallelujah. I prophesied in Jesus' name. I plan to be strong. I don't plan to be in a wheelchair or nursing home. I don't want nobody helping me go to the bathroom. I want to take care of all of my needs right on up to I'm 100. I'm going to stop going to Cracker Barrel one day so I can eat better. Amen. Get more healthy food. But let me tell you that I'm sowing. I want to sow into people's lives, and I want to be a blessing to others. And you cannot reap until you sow. People say, "Well, I don't have friends." Well, you need to sow friendship into those who are looking for friends. Amen. You do not have friends because you're not. The Bible says, he who must have friends. Well, I went to that church and nobody talked to me. Now, time out. We need to talk to strangers, and we need to quit huddling up with the same six people we've talked to the last 15 years. Out there in the coffee shop, there's five people in the same table, the same people's been talking about the same stuff for 25 years, and there's a visitor over there that's sitting by themselves. What's wrong with that picture, friend? Come on, get out of your little circle and go over there and say, "Well, I don't know what to say." Well, praise God, ask for the anointing. Well, I thought anointing was just for the pulpit. The anointing can be for the coffee shop if we got a visitor. Amen. You don't reap until you sow. That you may be there, that person sitting in the coffee shop all by themselves, you may hold the key to their future even more than the preacher in the pulpit. We're all preachers, praise God. We're all evangelists. We're all anointed. We're all ordained of God. Hallelujah. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Absolutely, there's a called clergy to shepherd the church that you might not be a part of. But I'll tell you, we're all called to sow seeds. Amen. Amen. You're not going to reap if you don't sow. Principle number two, you will always reap what you sow. You sow the cold shoulder, you're going to reap the what? You reap what you sow. Here's some warning labels. Let me give you some warning labels, and I'll come to a close here in just a little bit. I'm warning you. Warning labels. On a 13-inch wheelbarrow, there was a warning label that said, "Not intended for highway use." On a can of pepper spray, you know what I mean by pepper spray, it says, "Warning, may irritate eyes." All right, a butcher's knife had a warning label. Keep out of children. Keep out of children. Not out of the reach of children, but keep out of children. My goodness. Woo. It's on a costume for Halloween. It was a Superman cape. It had a warning label. This garment does not enable you to fly. And on a box of rat poison, a warning label. Has been known to cause cancer in laboratory mice. those warning labels. But let me give you another warning label. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. And that can go both ways. I had a Pastor Jerry about 10 years ago. I had a youth pastor that left my church and took several people with him. And looking back, it was not very pleasant. But Pastor Jerry helped me. I was going to send a strong email to somebody. I don't know who it was. And something said, see what Pastor Jerry thinks about this email. And I said, no, I know what he's going to say about that email. It's like, send it to him. So I said, I don't know if you remember that, Pastor. Do you remember that? I sent you that email. And sure enough, Pastor sent me back. And he said, don't send it. He said, where there is no wood, the fire goes. We're going to miss you the next 2 weeks, I'm telling you. Oh, my. He was so right. Amen. He was so right. But he did tell me this. He said, the person that did you wrong, they will reap what they sow. And not long ago, I saw that they're in another ministry and they're doing well. And I've released them. We've forgiven. I don't know what the word I'm looking for. Long ago forgiven. And God worked through all of that. And I just determined in my heart to forgive and put it behind us. And, the person that's in charge of that ministry that left us and hurt us, I have blessed them and I messaged them. In fact, I may even get them here to preach sometime. They've got a powerful ministry. Nothing wrong with that. But I did notice that in that ministry that they had some people to do them wrong. I said, you're going to reap what you sow. Come on. You're going to be careful how you treat people, because with what measure you meet, it shall be measured out to you. Those of you that like to really give a piece of your mind, and you don't mind giving people a piece of your mind, and that's good. We need some people to tell it like it is. But just be mindful. Don't get so upset when you reap what you sow and somebody gives you a piece of their mind and then you're all upset. Come on now. Listen, let's sow a little kindness, amen? Let's put a little honey in our rebukes, amen? I know we don't sugarcoat the truth, but you do need to put a little honey in the truth, amen? Even out of the eater came forth meat, hallelujah. Even out of that dead carcass came forth, there was some honey there, and God made what was strong more palatable when there was honey in there. But listen, you will reap what you sow. That's negative, and I'll give you a warning tonight. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. If you sow bad things, you're going to get bad things. If you're so good, if you keep telling your child that they're not good and they're not, I don't even like people to say, well, you weren't planned. I don't even like parents to tell their children that you weren't planned. Now, some of you probably told your kids you weren't planned. Now, you didn't realize that might not be very good. Well, I didn't say it was terrible, but I just don't think it's, I don't particularly like it, because that's coming from somebody who's never been able to have children. And I certainly would have loved to have 10 of them. But I'm sure if I'd have had one out of surprise, I probably would have said it myself. So let me backtrack that real fast here. But the point is, every child is planned by God. And if you tell a child that they'll never amount to anything, you're going to reap what you sow. You need to tell your child that they are blessed and highly favored. You need to sow, discipline them, correct them, but at the same time, let them know that God has a plan for their life. I remember pastoring one time, and there was a couple. This is when I was here at Living Waters, when this church was Living Waters. I pastored here, and there was a couple that they needed help. We had to financially help them. I had to constantly be over there and just be with them. And they had like 3 or 4 children, and I'm like, why don't your own children help you? And I wasn't that direct. But when you got a couple and you on the wall, there's pictures of those kids, and those kids were doing well and working jobs and things. I'm like, why don't, found out the problem. Because when they were little kids, they just threw them out to the street, didn't care for them, didn't help them, put them away. Why did you do that? Well, at that time in our life, we partied and we drank and we didn't care for them. And now you're old and sick and you need those 3 kids, don't you? And they don't seem to answer the phone, do they? You reap what you sow. So you parents, love on them kids, because they're going to choose your nursing home. Amen. Hallelujah. Buy them that car. Amen. Give them that education. Do what you got. Now, I'm not talking about spoil them. You've got to show discipline. But I'll tell you this, we've got to sow into that next generation. And one of the greatest things you can sow in the next generation is a love for God and a love for the church. And that's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. Somebody give him a hand of praise. Oh, if you sow finances, you'll get finances. I'm going to move on to that because this church is walking in that. If you sow love, you're going to get love. Judges chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. When people sowed in famine, when they came up in the crisis, when they were willing to go the extra mile, God did a great harvest. So principle number one, you don't reap until you sow. Principle number two, you reap what you sow. And I like this. Principle number three, you'll reap more than what you sow. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. We got a lot of dollar bill Christians out there that eat a lot of $20 meals. Amen? People that are sparingly. But God loves a cheerful giver. And the liberal soul shall be made fat. That's the King James Version for going the extra mile with God in your finances. Amen. Hilarious givers. Basket level, barn level givers. Amen. But you'll reap more than what you sow. Let me tell you, if you sow little, you're going to reap little. If you sow much, you're going to get much. And then finally, principle four, and I'm going to tie these two together. You reap later than what you sow. Somebody say later. Isaac sowed in that land. And in that year, he received a hundredfold harvest. And I'll tell you, he didn't reap in 3 weeks. He didn't reap in the first quarter. He didn't reap in 9 months. But in about a year, bless the Lord, he had a hundredfold return. A year is a long time when you're in a famine. I mean, it's been forever since we had to wear those face masks. I know exactly when we had to start wearing those face masks. Darn and I were on vacation, and Governor Cooper came out and said, we're going to wear a face mask. And we didn't have face masks. We had to go to the pharmacy and get some face masks. And the day he said we had to wear it, it's like, my God, how much longer we got to do this? I do not like a face mask. Never liked a face mask. But I've worn it. I've worn it because I've been in the store when people came in without the face mask. And it is a statewide mandate. Now, whether you agree or not, whether you should wear it or not, that's between you and the governor. But when you go to a store, they have to follow the law. And when I walk up to people and say, sir, you got to have on a face mask, and they begin to cuss at me and they begin to be ugly to me, then that's not helpful. Can I get a witness out there? So I'm, as a Christian, I don't want to make a scene for these sinners out here because they're caught up in the middle. So I don't like it, bless God, put that face mask on because I don't want them to have to come up and say, sir, put your face mask on. And I dare don't want to say, I don't believe in that face mask. And by the way, come to church Sunday. They ain't going to come to church with that attitude. Come on now. Give me a break here now. We got to be like, we got to use wisdom in this thing. Now, you might not agree with that face mask, and I don't agree. I didn't agree. Me personally, Ricky Nims, I didn't personally agree with it, and I didn't like it. But there's sometimes we have to just kind of go along to win people. We got to sow some seeds. Amen? And there's a famine out there. And I'll tell you, it's been a long year. Thank God that Governor Cooper, bless God, we prayed that old boy through. And he said, no more face mask. And some of you love it. I love him. Praise God. He's got a soul. He needs the Lord. Amen. His family was in Nash County, same county I'm from. But let me tell you, friend, the year's a long time. But you just be patient. God is on the throne. When you sow that seed and that Sunday Sunday school class. One day, Brother Philip, you've already lived long enough to see it. Some young man's going to say, thank you, Commander, for being faithful, for teaching me how to tie a rope, teaching me how to twirl a knife. Pastor Jerry, be wise, sharpen the blade. Amen. Hold that tomahawk and never let it go while you're preaching and kicking your leg. Thank the Lord that somebody taught people how to do life skills. And it may not happen tomorrow, but keep on sowing. The more that you sow, one day we'll stand across the river and we'll stand and the books will be opened. And there it is. There it is. Here I am. I'm in heaven today because somebody sowed in famine. Stand with me tonight and lift your hands up to the Lord. Sow some praise to God tonight. Hallelujah. I said a hundredfold blessing is coming. I said a hundredfold blessing is coming. You keep giving. You keep praising. You keep being faithful. You keep being patient. And I'll tell you, God says stay. Somebody say the word stay. Get planted, get rooted, and you will be planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaves shall not wither. Hey, and whatever he does shall what? Prosper. Brother Quentin, would you come tonight and play something on the piano as I close tonight? And brother, you keep being humble. You keep being faithful. And God sees you coming to church playing with 20 people. And who knows, one day you'll be up there with the thousands. But you stay humble. You sow your seeds. Today it's Waffle House. Tomorrow it's God's house. I'll tell you, be faithful where God puts you. Hallelujah, somebody. I'll tell you, be faithful. You preach when they don't like it. You preach when they do like it. Amen. You sing when the CD gets on the wrong track and it embarrasses you. Play the next track and sing right on again and smile and just say, well, God humbles us anyway. Amen. You just keep right on, Brother Schuyler. Every time you've had... you had a stroke, but the stroke didn't have you. Glory to God. Somebody praise him. He's sowing in famine. That was powerful when the pastor put that coat on you this morning. Something happened in the Holy Ghost. That was a divine moment when he took that coat off and wrapped it on your shoulders. There's a mantle that came with that. And brother, you're going to preach. You're going to preach. You're going to preach. You're going to preach the gospel. You thought you were going to sing, but you're going to preach while you sing. Amen. You sow in the land, brother. Hundredfold. Somebody say hundredfold. Amen. Somebody say hundredfold. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Ricky, my kids are away from God. Sister Judy, Jonathan's got cancer, but cancer don't have him because you've sown in his life. You've prophesied to his life. He's coming home. Amen. He's coming home. And God, I believe, is going to reverse the curse. Somebody give him praise here tonight. I know the famine's real. I know the hospital's real. I know COVID is real. But I know if we'll be faithful, we'll see a harvest. Hey, this church has grown in the pandemic. Amen. You know, one of the reasons I think we've grown in this pandemic is because the minute that it came down from a judge that the governor could not restrict church, and Governor Cooper wisely did not fight that. And I praise God for that. But the minute that judge came down, this man was on the phone saying, we're having church. He said, we're having church. Now, we started out, we had it phased Sunday morning. And then we worked in Sunday night. Now we go to church all the time. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Is anybody here going through a famine tonight? Are you discouraged? Do you think you're not made an impact? Do you think what you've done, is it really amounting to anything? Mm-mm. That's the dull devil talking to you. You just be faithful in famine, and God's going to bless you a hundredfold. Sing, brother, before we leave tonight. Amen. Praise God. As he sings, just sow some praise unto God right now. Lord, we love you. We want to see revival sowing in the land. Oh, come on now.
I know the Lord's been good to me. Down through the years.
Some of you about to reap. It's harvest time, Pastor. It's harvest time. Oh, yes, he has. Oh, every year. Yes, he has. I said it's harvest time. Be planted, be faithful, sow in the land. Oh, the best is yet to come.
The Lord's been good to me. Sing it down through the years. I know.
Yes.
Father,
yes, he
I
has.
I know that the Lord's been good to me.
Yes, he has.
He's been somebody's mother and a father. I know the Lord's been good to me. He's been a mother and a father. I know the Lord's been good to me. He has been so good to me.
Oh, yes, he has. Yes, he has.